All right, and once again, we are happy to have Sister Pat Boggs sharing some things with us this morning. Again, we greatly appreciate Sister Boggs. She is a faithful woman of God, and she is faithful in helping us with many things in our church, including giving our visitors a great first impression as she helps us with our greeters and our greeting there at the church before every service. So we are so appreciative of her. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Pat Boggs. Sister Boggs, go right ahead.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord, Church. I'm glad to be able to be on here this morning and share some things about my life. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's how I was. I was very blinded to truth. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I was not raised in church. My father was an alcoholic. My mom was a workaholic. And it was not a real good life for kids to be raised in. I had two brothers and a sister. And we became very close because of the dysfunction that was in our family. But the Bible talks about how God has a plan for our life in Jeremiah, and talks about how our steps are ordered by the Lord in Psalms. And I truly believe that God has had his hand upon me since I was a young child. He kept me from many things. And I grew up halfway decent with not too much baggage. But you do have baggage when you come from a home like that. And sometimes you bring that into your marriage. And I don't know how many people, but I have a husband, very good husband. He's a very good man and a good father. He just doesn't believe this truth. And he's like where I was. You know, the gospel's hid to him. And he's a good man. And I think when you're good like that, you don't think you need God. And that's how I was, too. You kind of categorize sin, put sin in little boxes, and think, well, that's a bad sin, and that's not a bad sin. But, you know, the Bible talks about that there's none righteous, no, not one. But I didn't think I was a sinner because I was a good person. But God was about to show me that I was a sinner. I met my husband when I was 17 years old, and I know that God had his hand upon that because his mother had the Holy Ghost. She went to Brother Sam White's church in Bellflower, and when we got married, since I did not have a church, I knew nothing about God. There was no Bible in my home. There was no prayer. We didn't talk about God. So I was very ignorant when it came to the things of God. My impression of the Lord was, you know, he was an old man that sat on a throne, and the only time he saw him was in judgment. And I was so wrong. Anyways, so we got married in the Bellflower Church. Brother White married us, and we were married in Jesus' name. And I did not realize what an impact that was going to be on my life. We were married for about 10 years when our marriage started going belly up. And it was because of me, because I was very miserable. I had a home that was beautiful. I had two kids that took me 7 years to get. I had to go through a lot of infertility issues and problems, and I finally had to have surgery. And God blessed me with a little girl and a little boy. But they, I was not happy even after all that. I had everything that should have made me happy. I did not have to work. I had a beautiful home. I had new cars and a good husband. And I was miserable. And I did not know what to do. If I would have known God, I would have, you know, turned to God. But because mental illness runs in our family, I thought I was losing my mind. Because I thought, what is wrong with you, Pat? You have everything that money could buy. You have everything that should make you happy. But material things didn't make me happy. Even the babies that I had waited so long for were not doing it for me. They were not filling that void that was in my life. We all have a void in our life, and only God can fill that. And I remember one day, I was at my wit's ends, and I was so miserable, and I was making my husband miserable. I was destroying my own marriage, and I couldn't stop it. And I went into my bedroom, and I threw myself down on my bed, and I cried out to God for the first time in my life. And I didn't even know if God heard me. I feel like I was probably just venting. But I told God, if this was all, if this was all there was to life, I didn't want it. I was so miserable that I wanted to die. And I laid there for a while just venting, like I say. And I got up from there. But I did not realize that God did hear my cry. And in Psalms 18, excuse me for a minute. Psalms 18. In 6, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
And in Psalms 4 and 3, it says, but I know that God, nope, that's the wrong one, I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus. 3 and 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God does hear us. We may not realize, but I know that day that I cried out to God, he started a plan. He put it in motion. And there was a short time later that my sister came to me, and she was broken. She'd had a mental breakdown, and her husband just dropped her off at my porch. And like I say, we were very close as kids, and I would have done anything for my sister. But something inside of me told me that she needed God, and I didn't know it. I had a brother-in-law that had gotten the Holy Ghost about 8-9 years before that, and he had witnessed to me many times. But I was not ready. And there comes a point where there's a crossroad in our life, and I hadn't gotten to that place. I felt like everything was okay, and I didn't need God. Like I said, I didn't think I was a sinner, and I wasn't a bad person. But John witnessed to me many, many times. I used to party with him, and I knew him before, so that when he got the Holy Ghost, I knew there was a change. But my husband and I, we didn't like the outside. We knew that they had something on the inside that we did not have. It was a peace and a joy that we didn't have, but we let the outside determine if we wanted that or not. So when my sister came to me and I knew that she needed help, I called the only person that I knew that knew God. And John came, him and his wife, and they took my sister into the bedroom, and I asked if I could just sit in the corner and just listen. I said, I won't talk, I won't disturb or anything, just help my sister. And he said, sure, you know, of course he wanted me in there to hear this. And so I sat in the corner, and he talked to Sue about God and repentance and baptism and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he talked to her greatly about repentance. And all of a sudden, my sister just started weeping. I mean, I've never seen anybody repent before. And I thought, man, she's really crying. And I kind of justified it. I thought, well, you know, a lot's happened in her life. She's done a lot of bad things, and maybe that's what happens, you know, when you repent, when you've done bad things. And so she was completely emptied out. And then John talked to her about how she had to be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they happened to be in revival at that time in Ontario. That's this church here is where John was going to under Brother Herbert Buxton. And so he talked to her about being baptized, and so she decided that she needed to be baptized, and I had to take her. But before this happened, my husband was getting ready to go on a business trip. And like I say, our marriage was just very, very rocky at that time. And I remember George coming to me and putting his finger in my face and telling me that I better change before he gets back. He was gone 3 weeks. And so I took my sister to church. She got baptized. And I remember sitting there thinking, what are these people doing? You know, I didn't understand it. And things that you don't understand, sometimes you make fun and you criticize. And I just couldn't understand why these people were raising their hands and talking out loud and just running. And I thought, my word, I didn't know anything about church or God, but I thought, this was not God. You should be respectful in the house of God and yada, yada. So, but I felt something that night, but I did not know what it was, and I didn't express it to my brother or sister-in-law. I just kept it to myself. And so because they were in revival, my sister wanted to go back the next night, so I took her back the next night. And Brother Steve Buxton preached on the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I will never forget that message. And when it was over, they had an altar call, and I still didn't understand why everybody was going up front and what they were doing. And I asked my sister-in-law, you know, what are they doing? What's happening? And she explained to me, and I remember thinking, there's no way I could go up there. I wouldn't even know what to do. I don't even know how to pray. What do you say, you know? And I just stayed in my seat and just was watching everything that was happening. And all of a sudden, my heart started beating so hard. I thought I was going to die. And I didn't understand what was happening to me. And I literally thought I was getting ready to have a heart attack. I mean, I can look back now and know that it was God tugging at my heart and dealing with me. But I knew nothing. I had never even heard of the Holy Ghost, you know. And something kept telling me, if you don't go up there, you are going to die. And I thought it was a physical death. And I thought, oh my God, I've got to go up there. And I would try to like move to go, and it was like I had cement feet. I could not move. And I know it was a battle for my soul that night. God was tugging and wooing me, and the devil would not let me go. But once I made up my mind, I've got to get relief, and the only way I can get relief is to go up front. So I told my sister-in-law, I've got to go up there. And so I started walking down the aisle all the time thinking, what am I going to do? I can't be like these people. I don't know what to say. I'll look like a fool, you know. But the moment my knees hit the ground, I just started weeping, just like my sister did in the bedroom. And I wept uncontrollably, and the power of God hit me. I fell over. And when I fell over, you know, I had sisters right there that were, you know, praying for me, and they were so good, you know, and the enemy was right there and kept telling me, get up. You look like a fool. You look like an idiot. This is God's house, and you're not supposed to be laying on the floor. And it's like they were so sensitive to what was happening and to God, and they knew exactly, excuse me, they knew exactly what to say and how to pray for me. And they were reading my face. They were reading, you know, my actions, and they would help calm me down, and they would tell me what was happening to me and explain to me. And then that the enemy's voice would go away. And then all of a sudden I started feeling electricity. I mean, it was electricity coming up through my feet. And it was coming up to my legs, and it would get so far up, and then the devil would start talking again. And I used to like horror movies and all that kind of stuff. And he brought every movie to my mind that I had ever seen. And I remember watching a movie, and these people were camping in the desert, and they came across these devil worshipers, and they were all in a circle, and they were chanting. And that's what the devil told me was happening to me. And I thought, oh my word, I have got to get out of here. These people are devil worshipers. And he was so convincing. But then here again, you know, and one of the people that were praying with me was Dara Buxton. And she was so sensitive, and she knew, it's like she knew exactly what was going through my mind, the doubts and all that. And once again, she would start talking to me again, and they would just tell me how you just have to surrender. You know, you got to die out. And I was trying to die out to my wants and my desires and my pride. My pride, oh my word, rose up so much, you know. And I was able to work my way through, and every time I would start worshiping God and praising God again, then I could feel the power of God come back. And I still did not know what was happening to me. But these sweet sisters knew exactly, and they helped me through this, and they stayed with me. And I think, I don't know, I know I was on the floor for well over an hour. And I think back and think, you know, if they'd ever gotten tired and would have left, you know, think, forget it, she doesn't want it. But you just don't know when people are dying out, all the things that they're dying out to, all the things. And I knew a little bit about church just from John. And I knew things that I had to give up. And I was fighting that. And I knew the one thing that I had to give up was my husband. I had to surrender my husband to God. And that was the last thing that I had to give to God. I had been married for 10 years, and I loved my husband. And I just knew that if I surrendered to what was happening to me, that he would leave me. Because just of the things that we talked about through the years. And, you know, he didn't like the way the women looked. He felt sorry for the kids and just everything. And that's what I was trying to fight through. But I finally God was able, you know, to get through to me, and I surrendered my husband to the Lord. And when I did, the power of God came up, all the way up, and I started speaking in tongues. And even then, when I was speaking in tongues, the devil came. Shut up. Do you know how stupid you sound? You know, and, you know, that's you, and you're making a fool of yourself. And I would stop, and then I would try to correct myself, and I would think, no, that's not what I was saying. I was trying to say, I love you, Jesus, or, you know, I worship, or whatever. But it was not coming out like that. And I kept trying to correct my words. And once again, these prayer warriors that were with me, they helped me through it. And they explained to me how that was the presence of God that was speaking through me. And they stood me up. And I just, it was just like the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was just flowing. And my sister told me after that, she said, Patty, when they stood you up, your face looked like the sun. She said, there was such a glow and a shine on your face. She said, I thought these people were rare too. And they said, as soon as I seen that, I thought, oh, my word, this is real, you know. And after that happened, my brother-in-law, of course, wanted me to tell my husband. He was excited. He wanted his brother to know what happened to his wife. And I told John, I can't. I was fighting that again. And here he was in Texas, and the time change, I knew he would be in bed. And when we got home, John insisted that I call George and tell him what had just happened to me. And I finally gave in to it. I was scared, you know, and I call him up and I tell him, and there's dead silence on the other end. And he says, well, if that's what you feel like you need, he says, but just tell me one thing, that you won't start looking like Faye. And that was my sister-in-law. And I said, oh, no, don't worry. I won't, you know. Little did I know that in those 3 weeks that my husband was gone, God delivered me from everything, convicted me of everything, my makeup, my jewelry, my dress. So when he came home, I was a completely different person. And I even thought, you know, when God was dealing with me, I would try to look in the Bible and think, because makeup was a very big deal to me. I did not go to the mailbox without my makeup on. And I thought, Lord, if the women in the Bible wear makeup, then I can wear makeup. You know, so I started searching in every scripture that God was giving me, you know, on Jezebel and all that, and being harlots and stuff, even though I knew I wasn't a harlot. But if that's what God thought of me, you know, I didn't want him to think I was a harlot because I had makeup on. I thought it for a while, but I finally surrendered to everything, because everything that God was convicting me of was in the Bible. You know, so when my husband came back, like I said, he had a brand new wife, and he was not very happy. But, you know, God's been good to me, and, you know, I'd say the first 5 years of my walk with God were very hard. But that's where God taught me how to pray and establish my own walk with him. And the devil would still come to me and tell me, you know, if you get too involved, if you pray too much, if you go to church too much, all this, he's going to leave you. And so I would start to back off, and I thought, no, that's not right. And God finally gave me a revelation, and he told me that I had to stand before God all alone, that I was going to stand in judgment by myself. I couldn't use my husband as an excuse. And I lived for him. I did everything, you know, and but I thought, you know, if he's going to leave me because I want to live for God and live a good, clean, holy life, then he's not worth it. And that's, I wanted to get to heaven, and if, you know, and I didn't care. And it was, it's not that I quit loving him, because really when I got the Holy Ghost, I fell in love with him all over again. But I was not going to die and go to hell for him. And once I got that in my mind and settled it in my mind and spoke it out loud, the devil never, ever, ever bothered me with that again. And in August of this year, George and I will be married for 49 years. And I owe it all to God. I know that if I had not received the Holy Ghost, I would have followed in the footsteps of my family and been divorced. We have lots of divorce in our homes. And I give God all the glory for that. And I'm so grateful for what God has done, and I'm trusting and believing that the Lord is going to save my husband. He has promised me. And it's in his time, just like we all have a time. And I'm so grateful for that. And before I quit, I wanted to give an update on my brother. I'm so thankful for everybody praying for David. I go and visit him almost every day, and the other day I was at the home, and it's been, the doors are just sealed shut when it comes to witnessing to him. And when it does open a little bit, I try to get as much as I can in there. But Monday when I was down there, he was very receptive, and I talked and I talked and I witnessed and prayed and just really talked to him like I've never been able to. And he just laid there and listened. And when I was praying, I opened up my eyes, and my brother had his hands raised. He had his hands raised, and big tears were coming down his eyes. He wasn't saying anything. He can't talk a lot because he doesn't have a lot of breath. But I know that God was dealing with them. I don't know if he saw something, felt something, or what. And then a short time later, he asked me what the definition of a hypocrite was. But I am so thankful for that opportunity to be able to pray with him and to see that. I just trusting and believing that God is dealing with him. Yesterday, my other brother was with him, and he told me that the same thing happened again, that David raised his hands, and tears were coming down his eyes, and he was trying to talk. But I know that God understands our heart, and he understands our tears. And I just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing, and I want to thank the church for praying with me for my brother, and I'm believing that God is going to do a miracle in his life. Thank you, Brother Vic.
Sister Pat, this is Brother Clark. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sister Pat, this is Brother Clark. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, I just have to come in for a moment before you close out and just tell you how good this devotion was. I have listened very, very closely, and I just want to tell you that this was a great, great blessing today. There were some parts
Thank
of
you.
Your testimony that were humorous. You mentioned that you had cement feet when you were trying to make your way to the altar. But Sister Pat, I just wanted to tell you as your pastor that we love you. We deeply appreciate your years of faithfulness. And I believe in you. I believe in your prayer life. And I really, really have confidence in you. You are a blessing to my wife and I, and also to the church. And I want to say that
thank you.
As I've listened to your testimony today, I don't know of anyone I've ever heard in when they were coming to God that had such direct assaults from Satan trying to hinder you even as you were receiving the Holy Ghost. And I believe this explains to me more fully where you're coming from on your sincerity with prayer and your walk with God. I can see that you've had, it forced you with this encounter with Satan trying to hinder you to get a hold of God. And to me, this explains where your prayer life is at. And so I just want to tell you that, and the fact that you've been in the church all of these years and your testimony is still fresh in your mind, we can feel it. We can feel when you testified that what God did for you several years ago is very, very fresh. It's not like a distant story that you're telling. And so I just want you to know that we love you, and I'm very, very proud of you today.
Thank you. I love you, and Sister Clark, too. Okay. And it is very fresh in my mind. I can never forget that day.
Oh, it's tremendous. It's coming through very, very anointed. Well, God
thank
bless you,
you,
Brother Vic.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Clark. And again, thank you, Sister Boggs, and thank you for sharing some of your life story with us this morning. Again, so many stories and personal details about our people's lives that we've heard. And as we hear them, church, we realize the testifier as well as the listener. And today's testimony is no exception. Again, thank you, Sister Boggs, for opening up your heart this morning with your great testimony. I'm just going to quickly read a couple of text messages that we've already received here. One from Sister Kendra. Sister Boggs is so vividly explaining the cry and call of the lost that pastors preached about. Lord, help us to be ready to respond and reach the lost that are crying out right now. And Sister Janice sent in a message so transparent, so much in her words, so many have to be able to relate. So, so special. So again, Sister Boggs, thank you for your testimony. Church, why don't we just thank God together for what we've heard this morning, for the anointing that we're feeling. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for Sister Pat Boggs, for her family and the miracles that you're performing in her brother and in her husband and in her children, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing all these great things to take place in Sister Pat Boggs' life. And we ask you to continue, Lord, to work the miracles that we are asking for in her family. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. And with that said, everyone, we want to remind you that tonight we're going to be having church tonight with Brother and Sister Chavez, 7 p.m. prayer and 7:30 p.m. our service. And until then, please be praying and meditating upon the great things that we heard with Sister Pat Boggs' testimony this morning. God bless all of you and have a great day.
Hello?